There are countries that Donald Trump doesn't seem to want to go after, other superpowers, Russia, China. Those two countries do exhibit that same sort of territorial expansionist goals. Is the planet big enough for all three of them?
Yeah, I think that's a big question we now face, because the liberal order, the rules-based order, that's gone. And what we do have are three leaders of superpowers who all in their different ways want to recreate the greatness of their country's past. And the question is, yes, can they do this without bumping into each other? Now, in a way, the world is big enough if they stuck to their own areas. It's the countries in between, the would-be colonies, the small countries in between that would suffer. But it's clear that Trump is not a sort of Monroe plus or Donroe plus. He has an interest in the world outside the Western Hemisphere. And also, of course, the Western Hemisphere extends into the Pacific. And so there is an overlap in the Pacific where the U.S. already suffers Pacific power. And they have rubbed up against China and the South China Sea. And, of course, the big question is, if Xi made a move against Taiwan, what would Trump do? Would he say, well, spheres of influence, or that is an affront to American power, i.e. my power? And that's the trouble with capricious leaders of superpowers and autocrats.
That is certainly the big question, Taiwan, being looked at here in Australia. It's quite concerning to hear you say the international world order, the old order post-World War II is over so clearly. In which case do you see countries like Australia, like the UK, rethinking their alliance, their old alliance with the US?
Well, I think they have. I mean, I don't think it is possible to go ahead as if it's business as usual. This is a very, very different country you're doing business with. You saw in the case of the UK, they stopped giving the US intelligence, which might help them with their Venezuelan operations when it was about bombing the small boats. The Royal Navy felt so uneasy about it that they thought about pulling out. They had a senior officer on one of the ships in the Armada. We're starting to look at that. So you already begin to see that. Obviously, it is a very different animal. I mean, they will not disown it because, of course, they know that Trump is not forever. And they hope that America will return to something like it was before. If Trump loses the election and a more conventional president takes over. But for the time being, they have to rethink it. And they have to look for more, I think, networks of allies rather than having this one big protector ally.
Julian, that does take me very neatly into what's happening domestically. I just want to mark that very quickly, because we're seeing those issues happening at home for Donald Trump, problems with the economy, ICE raids, upending cities, a US citizen killed. How much of what is happening domestically fuels Donald Trump's moves internationally?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a factor that we haven't mentioned up to now, is that the usefulness of all of this as distraction for Trump, Donald Trump. He has all sorts of domestic problems. First of all, affordability, and this feeling that among ordinary Americans that it's getting tougher and tougher just to keep their head above water. And Trump had promised that was going to be solved, that he would deal with that, and he obviously hasn't. Secondly is the unhappiness about this conflict that he brought into American cities with this unaccountable armed force in the shape of ICE. And thirdly, of course, the Epstein files, the child trafficking scandal that still hangs over them, is still out there. A lot of the files have yet to be published. The Justice Department's holding them back, and that has alienated some of the base, not all of the base. Most of the MAGA crowd, I think, will stick to Trump through thick and thin, because it is about personality cult, and they've invested so heavily in him.
Just finally, what do you think is the conclusion here at this moment? I know as an international journalist, you're watching the page of history turn, but do you think we are seeing a new imperialist America, or is it just a more honest business as usual approach from the US?
It's not quite business as usual. It is more honest in terms of what the US is after. But I think it is different in that since the Second World War, the US was not interested in acquiring territory. It was interested in having its will done around the world, but not about expanding territorially. Now that is what's changed.
Julian, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That was senior international correspondent Julian Borger. You can find more of Julian's work on theguardian.com, and we've linked his latest piece on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, who also did the sound design and mixing. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.